المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين. سبحانك وبحمدك، لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليه. During the Khilafah of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, which lasted around 2 years, the majority of this time, the time of his Khilafah, of his Caliphate, was spent repairing. Individuals began to reject the concept of Zakah, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, rather than focusing on the expansion of the Ummah territorially, rather than focusing on that, he was to repair the damage within. These individuals, these renegades, that began to reject zakah. Not refusing to pay, rejecting that zakah still remains a concept of Islam. I mean, these people have rejected a fard. So his primary duty, his aim at this was to repair this. And his reparations of this, his form of unity that he established within the 2 years that he aimed to repair within this, were the foundation which often gets overlooked, for which Umar Allahu Anhu's expansion of the Ummah to the east was able to flourish. It was Umar Allahu Anhu's foundation where he created the unity within the Ummah for the expansion within the Khilafah, within the Caliphate of Umar Allahu Anhu. Now Umar Allahu Anhu, during his Khilafah, Islam has spread into different regions, and he is now appointing governors in different regions. As he's appointing governors in different regions, like how you have different constituencies, you know, you have individuals appointed, you have your local councils, you have somebody who's responsible for that, naturally, how it operates. Umar radiallahu anhu had a similar system, where he would appoint governors, and they would be governing their respective areas. Umar radiallahu anhu, this is the examples where we find of him. The individual he selected were individuals whom moral, religious, intellectual, and politically, these individuals were formed. So meaning morally, meaning their ethics were correct. Religiously, meaning their spirituality. Intellectually, they were individuals who were able to, they were strategic. Politically, they knew how to handle matters. They were delegating tasks. He would select these individuals. But he selected individuals whose tarbiyah was done. Their tarbiyah, they were formed. For example, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu going to Kufa. He sent him there. But Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was from the Ahl al-Suffah. Meaning those individuals who didn't have enough. They were poor. They were destitute individuals who were living at the original Qibla in Masjid Nabawi was facing towards Masjid al-Aqsa. So that side became the side of the Ahl al-Suffah, the people that would stay that side on the left adjacent to it, because the Qibla changed towards the Kaaba. So when it changed, that side became vacant, that became for the Ahl al-Suffah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was from amongst them. And he was, though, imagine this, a Sahabi, an individual, poor, destitute, they're giving time for his development, meaning in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they are being formed. Their tarbiyah is done. These Ahlu Sufa, these people that were there, they were there again, they were gaining knowledge. They were poor, they never had the accommodation, they were staying there. But they mentioned that the two qualities that they had at the end of this, one, knowledge, number two, piety. So what was this? It was a tarbiyah place. Place of moral and religious formation. Intellectual also, because these people became leaders. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was the faqih of Kufa. The fuqaha of Kufa, the jurists, the scholars of Kufa, their lineage, the scholarly lineage, goes back to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Imam Abu Hanifa, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, Sufyan al-Thawri, Hamad ibn Abi Sulaiman, Ibrahim Naqai, Alqama, all these great giants of Kufa, their scholarly lineage goes back to Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. But where did he come from? The Ahl al-Suffah, who never had accommodation, they were at the back of the masjid, their accommodation was there, but their formation, their tarbiyah was done in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hurairah was from amongst them also. Now just I want you to understand, their tarbiyah was being done. So Umar is selecting these individuals to lead places. Look at their humble beginnings. Look at who they became. Tarbiyah, formation. Not just religious and moral, intellectually, politically. These individuals are being formed altogether. Now, Umar Allahu Anhu, after selecting these individuals in different locations, he would continue doing tarbiyah by sending letters to his governors asking for updates. It wasn't, you're in charge of that place, do as you please. No. He would ask. In fact, people would send complaints regarding their governor, and Umar Allahu Anhu would give them an audience. And he would call the governor, there was one example of one sahabi, and he said to him that they are complaining that you come out late during the day. And he said to Umar Allahu Anhu that I do not have a slave, I do not have anybody, I have to knead my own, and I do it on my own. I'm literally, I only have one piece of cloth, one clothing, I am living upon this. Umar Allahu Anhu was crying after this. The people were unaware of the governor's situation. But imagine your governor being an individual so pious that he would not take from what he can take from. But these are examples of him taking his own governors to task. Now, the point I'm trying to get to over here is that Umar Allahu Anhu would send a letter to his governors, and in there he would say, "Hafidhu ala salawat, be observant of your salah." Imagine of all the things he would mention to them, of the advices he would tell them, be vigilant, observant of your salah, of your prayers. Why? For you, if you are careless with that, then in the other matters, فَهُوَ أَضْيَعْ, you're going to be even more careless in matters of, in those matters. If you're going to be observant, vigilant of your salah, then there's hope that the individual will be vigilant with the matters of the people. What's the point in here? Salah is the spiritual reformation of an individual. Allah mentions, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that salah prevents immorality and depravity. We can think to ourselves, we perform salah on a daily basis, 5 times daily salah. But how does our life transform from the time we came into the masjid and to the time we left from the masjid? In fact, some come to the masjid, they'll block somebody's drive, they'll double park, somebody else is stranded to come and perform that salah by causing somebody else harm. That's not to say that salah is invalid, salah will be performed, but they're sinful in the sense that they've inconvenienced somebody else. But my point over here is, how did that salah transform the individual? When Allah says, salah prevents immorality, تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ, it prevents immorality, it prevents depravity. The individual become particular observant of the rest of deen, the whole ibadat, all of mu'amalat, his mu'asharat. How is that salah transforming? Because that salah is lacking. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. What is salah? It's the remembrance. They say salah is min akmal al-ibadat. Salah is of the most complete worships. Why? When a person fasts, the individual is fasting, but he's not in something called halatul mudhakkira. He's not in a state of complete remembrance. What I mean by that is he's remembering Allah. But in salah, in everything is intentionally in a certain position. When you're fasting, you're not necessarily in that scenario. Even in hajj, you're not necessarily going to be in that scenario. You could be sleeping. In salah, in every position, you are intentionally there. If you turn away accidentally, your salah invalidates, becomes invalid. So you're in that salah, you are intentionally in every position. That's a form of complete remembrance. So min akmal al-ibadat, salah is something where there's complete and true submission. Not just of the limbs, but of the mind and of the heart. Salah isn't just a matter of the ritual. Why I'm coming to this is, inshallah, from next week, we're going to have a series on from salah, from ritual to spiritual. We're going to have a whole series, inshallah, on this. But how do we transform this aspect of coming in, performed 4 rakat or 2 rakat, but didn't manage to maintain a concentration for more than 20, 30 seconds? How do we do that? How do we develop that? As I mentioned, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to salah, the qibla changed. People objected and said, so the particularly the Jews and Christians that were there saying that, oh, so all your previous worship, all your previous salahs are worthless. They're devalued, meaning they're not accepted anymore. Of course, that's flawed, because they followed the law that was given to them at the time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then changed it. So whatever happened before, that was according to that law, that's perfectly fine. But there were taunts from the other communities towards the Muslims, and this became difficult for the Muslims to bear. So Allah mentioned, Allah revealed the verse saying, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ, Allah is not such where he's going to squander and he is not going to appreciate your iman. But iman here is referred to salah. The word that's iman, this is that I talk about that salah. But imagine, iman has been used in the place of salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ صَلَاتَكُمْ. It's in reference to salah. But instead of saying salah, he replaces that with iman. That Allah is not going to squander and waste your iman. Meaning, it's the interconnectedness between iman and salah. That in this place, it's been used synonymously. But just imagine, how are they being used synonymously with iman and salah? Because the maintenance of one entails the maintenance of the other. A person who is able to maintain that salah is able to maintain their iman. But how do we do that? There are two aspects to this. Number one, there's a legal aspect. And two, there's a spiritual aspect. They're not disconnected, they're interconnected, but there's two aspects of this. Number one, the legal aspect. If I'm going to perform salah, I need to perform it in the way that I have been taught, in the way that from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as understood by the fuqaha and understood by the sahaba, which gets through the jurists. Why? What is our deen? Our deen is submission. Islam is submission. Somebody, if he decides that, you know what, today I am feeling that my iman is increased, I want to do more, let me perform 5 rak'ah dhuhr. Will that salah be accepted? Of course not. Intention is there, he's sincere, but it's not the way it was taught to us. And Islam is that submission in our tradition, relating back to Rasulullah, but relating back to the sunnah, which is important. This is a whole legal dimension. And this is important, and there will be many things that people are unaware of. An example, one Sahabi radiallahu anh performed salah. He performed salah, and he performed it, that's what we call ta'adil arkan. He performed it extremely fast without even ensuring that in each rukn, in each area in salah, it was performed with itminan, with enough that at least one subhanAllah is read in that duration. He did it extremely fast. So Rasulullah said to him, صَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. Go back, repeat your salah, for you have not performed your salah. Somebody might say, oh, you know, at least he's done the salah. Rasulullah said, no. صَلِّ فَإِنَّكَ لَمْ تُصَلِّ. 3 times. Go repeat your salah, for you have not performed your salah. This is a wajib. This tariq al-Qur'an is wajib. So he's missed out a wajib, his salah remains incomplete. There's a law here. There's a law, the legal aspect. He had this, his intention was sincere. He thought he performed his salah, but he missed out the wajib, which is in every aspect of salah, ensuring you're there for the length of at least one subhanAllah duration is the wajib. He did not do that. Rasulullah made him repeat it 3 times. This is a legal aspect of salah. Nobody can say that, you know, let me just perform. At least he's doing that. There's a whole legal dimension to it. And أَوَّلُ مَا يُحَاسُبِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الصَّلَاةِ. That the first thing that people are going to be questioned for in terms of حقوق الله, the rights of Allah, is going to be salah. If that is found sufficient, then there's hope for the remainder. If that is found deficient, then there is less hope, or there's despondency towards the rest. So salah, in terms of the legal dimension. Number two, in terms of its khushu', there's one narration which mentions, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُصَلِّ الصَّلَاةَ وَمَا كُتِبَ إِلَّا نِصْفُهَا أَوْ ثُلُثُهَا أَوْ رُبُعُهَا أَوْ إِلَّا خُمْسُهَا حَتَّى بَلَغَ عُشْرَهَا. That a person performs a salah, and he does not gain from that salah except half of its reward, except for a third of his reward, except for a tenth of his reward. Meaning, that a person does not gain from the entirety of the salah, but gains partially. And they say this is in regards to a person's conscience, concentration and devotion within salah. Remember, salah is transformative. But how is it going to become transformative? It's when we're understanding what we're doing. You say Allahu Akbar, but we don't know what Allahu Akbar means. Yes, a salah will be complete. And there's a form of spirituality gained because there's still submission within there. A person might not understand, but he's still submitting. So there's spirituality and there's tarbiyah in there, without a doubt. We agree with that. Because he's doing something which he still doesn't understand, but he's following the law, his tarbiyah is still being done. But how much more effective do you think is going to be for the individual who says, Allahu Akbar, knowing he's saying that Allah is the greatest, I'm throwing the world behind me, and this is between me and Allah. How much more transformative is that salah going to be? Understand, this is salah. Allah mentioned the context of salah, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah prevents immorality. It creates ethical change in an individual. It creates religious change within an individual. But how is that going to happen? When that salah can be called a salah, which is when that concentration and devotion is within there, that when that person becomes transformed. When a person does that, he walks out of the masjid, he's got a different idea in his mind, that just as though I've connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am going to leave this world. My spirituality matters. When I am out there in the world, I need to be particular with my words. When I'm out there in the world, I need to be particular about my gaze. When I'm out there in the world, I need to make sure I don't cheat an individual. When I'm out there in the world, I ensure that my interaction, even if it's with necessity to the opposite gender, is with formality. I don't start making jokes with them. There's a level of decorum that a believer expresses. But that comes, salah is there and is made fard for us 5 times a day. Now on this point, it's not just a name, a talk as a reminder, but inshallah, for this, how do we create this? This Tuesday inshallah, step one, we're going to go through the introduction of salah, the actual spiritual dimensions of salah. In each aspect of salah, what are we doing? When we're standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is being developed? What are we saying and understanding that? The whole spiritual lens. We are often focused on the legal aspect of salah, the fard, the wajib, which is important. Without a doubt, it's important. Without that, salah is invalid. Validity requires that. However, we focus on that and we lose the whole spiritual dimension. Or sometimes people are focused on spiritual dimension and lose the whole aspect of the legal dimension. So first thing, this Tuesday, inshallah, we want to cover the spiritual dimensions and the conditions for salah. For example, the facing the Qibla, the Salah times, etc. Going through the basics. And inshallah, the following Tuesday 23rd June, inshallah, will be session 2 of module 1, the series, the Salah series, from ritual to spiritual. That's the series. And in session 2, inshallah, we will be discussing the remainder of the legal aspect and an actual practical to ensure everyone's Salah is in order. Sometimes it becomes very theory-based, and people don't understand it, so we're going to go through a practical. If we want our salah to become transformative, we've got to give that time and understand, what am I doing in this salah? What is asked of me? How do I do this? All brothers and sisters, join again. This Tuesday will be session 1, and the following Tuesday will be session 2, Tuesday 16th and Tuesday 23rd.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله عز وجل والتمسك بالسنة المطهرة ثم أوصيكم ونفسي بإقامة الصلوات الخمس مع جماعة المسلمين إخوة الإيمان أمر الله سبحانه وتعالى بالمحافظة على الصلوات قائلا بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى قال سبحانه وتعالى في مقام آخر واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقوا ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون وقال رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قرة عين لي في الصلاة ألا ترون أن طواف بيتي لا يستمر في كل وقت من اليوم والليلة إلا عند إقامة الصلاة وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة الجماعة أفضل من صلاة الفذ ب27 درجة وذلك كله يا معشر الشباب يدل على فضائلها ويحض الأمة على إقامة الصلاة مع الجماعة في بيوت الله أي في المساجد ويكفي في ذلك أن الملائكة يحضرون فيها ويؤمنون بعد الفاتحة اللهم ارزقنا جميعا وجميع المسلمين التوفيق لأداء جميع الفرائض والواجبات خاصة لأداء الصلوات مع الجماعة آمين يا رب العالمين أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروا إنه غفور رحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله من أطاعهما فقد رشد واهتدى ومن يعصهما فقد ضل وغوى أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين قال الله تبارك وتعالى مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذريته وعلماء أمته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده ولده والناس أجمعين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأحياهم عثمان وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنهم وسيد نساء أهل الجنة فاطمة رضي الله عنها اللهم اغفر للعباس ولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذهم غضبا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبيحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا سبقونا بالإيمان اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر إخوان المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم انصر إخوان المظلومين والمستضعفين في غزة وفي سودان وفي كشمير وأينما هم مستضعفون اللهم انصرهم نصرا عزيزا وافتح لهم فتحا مبينا وافتح لهم فتحا قريبا عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأهم وأتم وأعظم وأكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون Kindly straighten the rows and show this rowing in front of you is complete before standing in the next row أتم الصف المقدم ثم الذي يليه فما كان من نقص فليكن في الصف المؤخر
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي للصلاة حي للصلاة حي للفلاح حي للفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنما كان قول المؤمنين إذا دعوا إلى الله ورسوله ليحكم بينهم أن يقولوا سمعنا وأطعنا وأولئك هم المفلحون ومن يطع الله ورسوله ويخشى الله ويتقه فأولئك هم الفائزون وأقسموا بالله جهد أيمانهم لئن أمرتهم ليخرجن قل لا تقسموا طاعة معروفة إن الله خبير بما تعملون
الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد